T for ID.
Who is this? Yeah, KD2BG.
Evas, I understand. I didn't speak out loud. I am Whiskey Alpha 4, Hotel November Tango. WA4HNT, my name is Alton Alpha Lima Tango Oscar November, and I'm actually in Pendleton, South Carolina at this point.
WA4HNT, this is Kilo Delta 2, Bravo November Golf.
Listen this evening.
Supposedly New Year's is one of those times where you look forward and not backward and try to be optimistic, but having a bit hard time doing both.
Well, I can tell you're not as old as me. I can tell by what you just said. I know better. That's funny. Yeah, it is the New Year's Day. And it hadn't felt much different than New Year's Eve or any day other. It's just New Year's Day. I watched the calendar. I think my wife may have seen, was it? No, that was last night. The ball dropped. Okay. And so we stayed up last night to do that.
I've had in recent years for just staying up kind of bleary-eyed and watching the complete computer clock and calendar roll over. Oh, look, it's now a 4 instead of a 3. But, yeah, no, I'll be okay, I guess. I forget what the hell I was trying to say. Oh, that's only because that dry January thing, that lasted about a day. So I figured I'd put that to bed right now.
Trying to adjust, but I decided I wouldn't go back to work until tomorrow, the 2nd. And so I've been putting everything else aside. And, you know, 2nd, the next day, because ain't nobody going to care until then.
So much for that business of turning over a new leaf, or starting anew, or a fresh slate, or a fresh start, or whatever it is to, as I said, this year I was trying to do the, I think it's originally a British thing. Dry January. Stop drinking for the entire month, which I think lasted until about now.
Excuse me. It's January the 1st. It's New Year's Day. There is a reason to celebrate if you can. In moderation, I guess they say. I don't. But really, at my age, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, you're getting to be or like me, or maybe I'm getting to be like you. If I see some guy in a black robe carrying a scythe walking toward me, I may not walk, you know, I may walk across the street to avoid him, but, you know, not that quickly.
I got my ticket at 71. When did you get yours?
2012, 2011, somewhere in there. Yeah, it's you know, not all that long ago.
It's so much fun. It really is. I used to meet guys that were the old guys. And what I know now is that they were the fellows that were in the radio industry within World War II. And so those are the guys that I met and when I was a young ham. And so I got my ticket at 71, and then it began to build up to, you know, general advance, whatever. And then I got to extra whenever. And so, but yeah, that was through the years. It gets so funny because these guys were really wonderful people to know. We were all vacuum tube trained. You just can't imagine it.
Applications, this vacuum tubes are still the way to go. For example, you know, extremely high gain with very little noise. I don't know what amplifier is receiving the signal, let's say, from Pioneer or Voyager. But at that signal to noise ratio, I bet it's either a vacuum tube or it's you know, a transistor in a cryogenic bath or something. You know, low vacuum tubes are low noise because obviously the junction region is a vacuum. You know, they're also very, very high power. You know, and they also have electromagnetic immunity. So they are still useful.
I know what you're talking about. Okay. You seldom bump into anybody that understands vacuum tubes or anything such as that anymore. They are getting seldom. As in the fellows that I met when I became a young ham in 1971. And so, yeah, these guys were already old men. They were from World War II, and they were just great guys, and there's some that are really good. I worked up on WFBC, 19... Oh, I was waiting on the draft board to come get me. And they put me up there to monitor the transmitters, and that was an exciting job. But that's when they put in the 0161 transmitter.
One of those older hams that actually knows about radio. Or in a lot of cases actually has broadcast experience. Or if they came out of, let's say, the post-war military, they have pretty good electronics experience. And since they were probably, CW operators, code operators, whatever, they have that experience. Yeah, CW hasn't been a requirement for quite a while now, has it? Debating or not whether or not it should be, but it is useful.
Now, I remember them walking through the pavilion of the CCTED facility beyond the control tower that, I don't want to say that way, it's the control booth of the FM television, your auxiliary equipment, and then the generator, which was a major must. That was a beast. That was a big caterpillar in a separate room. It would scare you to death if it cranked up. And so, yeah, that stuff was so much fun back then. But I remember them walking through and stepping it up. And that was back in the day you ordered Regency radio. Then you ordered a few crystals, an 01, a 61, a 14, a 94. You know what I'm saying. You'd ordered those crystals and plugged them in literally. This is before synthesization. That's the way you say it, synthesization. And this is well before, otherwise you put crystals into the sockets. That was a day gone by.
Crystal is what now, a capacitor? I even remember those back from the 70s, from the days of Citizens Band radios. You know, the 4 or 6 or, 3-channel, whatever, CB radios. Oh, the 23-channel ones that have a lot of them. In fact, I think they had to have pairs of crystals, because for some reason there's a different crystal for receive and transmit. Although I'm not sure that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, the PLL synthesis came along in the 80s, 70s, so I haven't seen a crystal radio in quite a while.
Or have I? I would get my teeth to get one. You know, I mean, literally, you had one for transmit, you had one for receive, 0161. And you plug them into the sockets, and they're so cute. And the Regency was a wonderful radio, and there's nothing wrong with the radio. It's just the way the frequency. And you were so limited on what you could do because of the crystals. And then they, in the next, 10 years, went to synthesization. And I liked that. I played with them for a while. And, just time gets by. And here we are, 2024.
Okay, yeah, 2 meters. Obviously, there's 2 crystals per channel. Receive and transmit. Why do I seem to remember CB radios that had 2 crystals per channel? No, that doesn't make any sense then. CB frequencies aren't split. far as I know. You know, CB is crap anyway, but I'm sure there was a time that we all played with them just out of curiosity.
I was driving 32-3 years ago from Oklahoma City to Carolina on the coast in the winter in a Volkswagen bus with no windows in it, but it did have a windshield put back in it. And I threw a CB on the top of the dash because I had no radio. It was going to be fun to ride down the road. And I heard some guy say, Black Eyed Peas, Corn, Cabbage. He kept talking about it. He said, next exit. Well, I took the next exit, and I went up and got all those things. They had a liquor store, and they had a small truckers-type motel. It was like 2 feet wide and a bed 4 feet long. And one of those with a big TV. So I pulled into there. I slept that night watching that vehicle because I had a lot of stuff stashed in the back of the Volkswagen bus. And I'd hear people going down the road say, you don't see them things anymore. It was so much fun. It was one of the greatest drives I've ever made.
Had CB and 11 meters in general was taken over by the, the radio anarchists. At one time, it actually was useful. I suppose it's less useful now. Now, even as recently as, 15 to 20 years ago, when Deborah was still alive, when we used to do the occasional long-distance drive, it was useful then, just to get things road conditions, weather conditions, that sort of thing. But aside from the long-distance truck drivers, who even really uses it anyway anymore? I guess because everyone figures, well, we have mobile phones now, and we have GPS mapping things and such. Well, the thing about the mobile phone is I have to know who to call. In the case of the radio, I can get on whatever channel 19, say, and I'm on I-95 mile marker 102, and I'm broken down. Where do you recommend to go? Which we actually did do one time.
An hour, correct?
Moment, but, back when we used to occasionally do those long drives, yeah, what happened to that one van? I think it had some kind of steering failure, control arms or something. So, even back then, early 2000s or so, the citizens van thing was still useful. Actually, I had the one in the car and I had a portable. And I said, you stay here. I'm going to go down the road until I can see what mile marker that is. And I'll radio that information, and then you radio someone and say, we're at mile marker X. Is there help around there anywhere? Anywhere? Some major steering fault that occurred. So we had to spend an extra day to fix the van. But, so it is, still useful for a lot of things.
Well, I understand. I'm sorry. I understand. CB radio is a great thing for people coming up through and for family stuff and all that stuff. I had disassembled 1953 Dodge pickup truck and put a CB radio in it, which my daddy loved. That's what I learned to drive on, 1953 Dodge, with cattle in the back. And so we had a good time with them. And there were some men in the area that were very kind to a kid. I don't know why they were. I'd have kicked them off to the curb and been done with them. But then when I was working in Serene Hall at Clemson College, Clemson University, in 1971, and a guy named Mac Pollard tossed to me the opportunity to take the technician. And I grabbed it, and I did the code, which is nothing. I have a commercial code license, and nobody has that anymore. And So, but we did all these things, and we had a good time doing it, and through the years, just gradually grew up in hams.
Only because, let's see, I never had a technician license. Should I get extra license? We'll worry about that when it comes. But only because I had this radio equipment that occasionally used to come through back in New York City when I was running the taxi cabs. So I started, for whatever reason, to collect various radios. You know what? Maybe there's something I could usefully do with these radios. You know, go get some sort of amateur radio license. So, in that case, I always sort of had an interest in radio anyway. Citizens Van, not so much, because Citizens Van was too limited. You know, plus you had the abusers. You have the guys who peak the modulation all the way up, thinking that's going to help them to get out there. But it's actually splattering you across three different channels. And plus you've got that, those Class A linears or whatever that makes the signal worse. You know, plus you have the usual rude types of discussions we don't usually have on 2-meter ham radio or any other band. But, so it never interested me that much.
There was the day that they put this repeater in, and on Pearson, I was up there at WFPC. That's why I can't even remember what I'm saying. And so I was there that day, and you're correct. I mean, CB bands are not good for them. I played with them when I was chasing cows in the pasture. That's what we used back then. Beyond that, I moved beyond it. Nobody else did. And I accidentally fell in ham in 71 with a tech license that I took in Serene Hall at Clemson. And I got it. So since I was going to school at Georgia Tech down yonder, I would go to the merchandise mart, go up to the federal building, and keep taking licenses. And I keep gaining them. And so that was pretty cool, too. And I mean, from the second to the first class, and from the second to telegraphy and the radar endorsement. Let me think what else. Oh, Lord, there's nothing else that they've got to offer me. So that's been a million years ago. It's unbelievably long time ago.
Anyway, some technical points is I think it was set up wrongly to begin with. The power restrictions, the antenna restrictions, those are fine. Because it was intended for, short-range, communication. The thing of it is, oh, and by the way, FCC rule change very, very recently. FM is now allowed on TV. Well, that should have been the case 60 years ago. The problem with AM is you have the far and near station problem, where far away weak stations interfere with local stations. Plus AM has lousy signal to noise. Sounds crappy anyway. And single sideband actually compounds the problem. So the rules weren't set up correctly in the first place. Plus, after they reduced the licensing requirements, maybe you remember when there actually was a CB license requirement. You had all sorts of abuse going on. Again, people running too much power, opening up the modulation all the way. Oh, I got this peaked in tune for 100% modulation. Can we explain something mathematically? Modulation is not a linear function. You're actually splattering out of the out of the channel and across two other channels. After the licensing gone. Get the timer. After that was gone, and all, you know, it became kind of a jungle. You know, so it was useful. It became less useful.
The FCC, when I was young, had teeth, and I, forgive me, I kind of think that maybe they have lost a little bit of their bite. That's the best way I can say it. I'm back from the background. I owned radio stations as a young man, and as a middle guy, and television. I just cannot tell you what I think about broadcasting.
Broadcasting isn't what it was. Even radio and TV broadcasting in this country is just somehow not what it used to be. I think it's because supposedly everything went to cable, satellite, other means of distribution, which, by the way, are not regulated the same in broadcasting. More on that later. And basically, I've just been diluting the whole interest in broadcasting. Yeah, cable, other means of distribution that don't go over the air are less regulated, which is, again, both a good and bad thing. But I'm starting to wonder that even, like, commercial AM and FM broadcasting, well, forget AM broadcasting, and even television is being too much neglected.
I understand. I agree completely. AM, for the most part, for the very most part, is where I make my money. You know, buy these little sticks, do what you can with them, get rid of them. And, that's kind of where... But AM radio is so important to a community. I told my wife tonight, coming home, we don't know where that fire was. We don't know what happened on that street. When I was a youngster coming up in the 60s, there was a guy in the studio that was telling you where that fire happened. What happened to the dog on the street. He was there. You had local information. That's the most important thing a community can have is good information about their community. And I'm kind of adamant about that.
Medium wave versus, VHF and television propagation. AM is kind of less local than local. But it still is very important because I've driven through parts of the country probably not that long ago where I'm not sure there is a television or an FM signal, FM broadcast signal. So it used to be, it was useful years ago for places where, other radio or TV broadcasts you can't reach. In fact, during the 30s at one time, isn't there a time they were allowed to run? There were, maybe 20 or 30 stations that were essentially allowed to run unlimited power. Clear Channel stations, not to be confused with the company of the same name. But it's gotten less useful, and also because the information channels become more bifurcated. We have local alerts of stuff delivered to our mobile phones. Still, broadcasting was important, and, it has been neglected, or at least I... Actually, for a while, after the digital transition, television broadcast was actually gaining in popularity. Now we actually have a better signal than you used to have over cable and satellite. The range is not too good. The signal quality is a problem. But, it's actually gotten better.
More fun as we go along. I went to work in Seneca at WSNW when I was a kid. Like, I was 14 years old. I had a third phone. They hired me, threw the other guy in front of me out the front door. He went to New York to become a broadcaster, but they gave me a job at a dollar, I think maybe a dollar and a quarter an hour, maybe a dollar. I think it's a dollar and a quarter of an hour. I went to work for them. I worked for them forever and a day till I ended up graduating from high school. I went back to work for them when I was waiting on the draft board to come pick me up. So local radio, and they had a local news department. The guy would sit down, you'd cue the mic, and, you know, he would sit down and give the look. He would tell stuff that we would not tell today, like who had a baby last night and such like that. You know, we would not give any information as to whose house might not be, you know, defended. People are crooks, and so we don't do that stuff today. And as I've grown older, I've seen so much maturity in the broadcast industry, and it just drove. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I love the industry, but I wanted to grow and do the right thing because I don't think they're going the right direction.
Considerations aside, and the fact that you've got a fragmented media of which broadcast is only a tiny part, you know, what direction really do you think they should go in? Or has broadcast radio and television served the purpose which is no longer as important as it was? Just think of how many other you know, hell, now we get streaming video and crap over the internet. We get, you know, Amber Alerts, weather alerts, what is it, emergency broadcast alerts, whatever, on our mobile phone. So does broadcasting have to redefine its focus, or what does it have to do?
Really good thoughts. I think broadcast AM, FM really needs to lay down. I'm so sorry. I just don't think it has an applicable place in what we're going forward to. But now, I do not want to sign anybody into like a series. I don't want to get into a contract or anything. I don't think that's necessary. I don't want that to be necessary. But I miss AM radio. I really do, because it gave us information. FM was the next thing. That's what you did. And you would turn off the, what do you call it? I'm such a... And you would turn off the, I can't think of the words. I'm so sorry. And so, but you would turn off the generator, I can't think of the word. You turn off the generator so that you would not you would not deplete the signal when you. Oh heck, I'm messing this up. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I really wanted to battle with what I was going to tell you because I have the experience. I just can't think of the words at the moment. I'm so sorry. This is WA4HNT4ID.
WA4HNT, KD2BNG. Don't worry about it. I'm probably younger than you are, and half the time I can't remember the words either. You know, I feel so stupid sometimes because I think it has to do with the fact that I'm really not in the workforce anymore. You know, I did computer engineering. I worked on projects that required, like, you know, your attention, required organizational skills, required the ability to, like, focus on things. And I almost can't do that anymore. And, yeah, I forget words, too. Words you know, events, people, places, you know, I'm constantly saying, yeah, that guy who made that speech about that thing, you know, who is that guy? You know, with regard to, you know, political or news figures or pop musicians or whatever. That guy who sang that song, I'm at that stage of my life.
Thank you, you're gracious. It's the FM generator. I swear, the button's right in front of me. I can see it when I was switching on and off. It was the FM generator. And you know, there's like a 15% depletion in the signal with the generator on. If you turn it off, you get a greater boost. So your athletic, you're calling a football game, a baseball game, you don't need the FM generator. So you turn that off. And we were demanded to do that back up then, back all those years ago. Jesus, I cannot believe how old really comes up on you. I looked at all these fellas, Ray, and I can burst out a bunch of names, but they're all beyond me, well beyond me, thank you. And so, but it's fun. It's been fun. Amateur radio, this is something that needs to be kicked on to our kids, you know, help them understand. I don't agree so much with the lackish behavior with Morse code. I have a second-class radio telemetry. Nobody has that license, second-class radio telemetry. You got to have a one-year internship with to get a first-class radio telemetry. And I think that's it. So, you know, it's all getting vague to me. I'm so sorry. I'm going to sign. You guys have a good evening. WA4H and T Whoop, clear after you're in. After you're, you know,
Okay, whatever. Yeah, you're like me. The words are there. I can't say them. All right, WA4H and T, KD2BNG. Well, you have a great evening, and for what it's worth, Happy New Year. Oh, I may have made some possible. You probably didn't hear my New Year's rant earlier on, but hopefully that'll pass. Anyway, you have a good rest of your evening, and you know, Happy New Year. Hopefully better than the last. You take care. 73.
Too, man. Enjoy the night. I'm going to go take a golf cart ride. I'm bad to ride golf carts. I've got a 2018 Silverado out here with 3,400,000 miles. No mileage on it. I drive the golf cart. I get out here and I go riding around having a great time on golf carts. I got two of them, a 72-volt lithium ion. I don't care. I'm not sure what I think about that. Man, I got a 48-volt lead acid. And so I'm thinking about, you know, to take the Pendleton, there ain't no cops over here. Nobody's going to catch me anyway. You know, you guys have a good evening. WA4H&T clear.
Car, which is one step up from golf cart, but actually, in spite of the lousy range, still very, very useful to me. But anyway, take care of 73s, and we'll talk to you later. Been a nice Q, so thank you.